Many people fear that artificial intelligence is going to take over their jobs. Italia, your opinion, how realistic is this concern?
Wow, I think I've heard so many times this concern. I would be rich if I would get a dollar for every time that someone told me that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Practical Tech with Customer Times. I'm Rafael, the VP of Global Marketing at the company. My mission here with this podcast is to tackle the questions that many senior business leaders are curious about, but might hesitate to ask. So that could either be out of fear or appearing uninformed or simply not knowing where to start. So my aim is to create a space where no question is too basic or too bold. So for our inaugural episode, we're kicking things off with a guest who is an absolute powerhouse of knowledge when it comes to data and AI. I'm delighted to welcome Italia Hornstein, a senior data analyst, who will help us unravel the complexities of AI. Italia has nearly a decade of experience working at the intersection of data and AI. I speak with her about whether AI will take over our jobs, our lives, or potentially even worse. Is AI something we need to fear? Let's find out. Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome our first guest on the podcast, Italia Hornstein. Italia has a passion for a really big buzz topic, artificial intelligence, as well as cybersecurity. She's fascinated by the impact of technology, both on people as well as business, and more specifically, how it will shape our future. I'm thrilled to have you on the podcast, Italia. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. What an honor to be the first guest in your podcast.
Yeah, you got it for sure. Your honor is all ours, believe me. So in today's episode, I'd like to look to simplify AI or artificial intelligence for our audience, but also help them to, you know, navigate their fears around this technology. A lot of the information that I'm getting is around fear or anticipation, trust, and mistrust. So with that said, let's dive right in. And maybe we can ride on that first topic, and that topic would be around fear. So many people fear that artificial intelligence is going to take over their jobs. Italia, your opinion, how realistic is this concern?
Wow, I think I've heard so many times this concern. I would be rich if I would get a dollar for every time that someone told me that. Honestly, it's a very valid concern, right? Like, we see how AI is making things faster and better. So people like, would you really need me in the future? And the way I really see it is actually quite the opposite. I see it in a way that it just can make us smarter. And it supports businesses to be more innovative, to do more, and to maybe invest in things that they didn't have the capacity to do before. And when I look also about talent and what attract people into places, people are looking to do complex stuff. They feel more rewarded when they need to figure things out and not to do the repetitive tasks. They're also looking to work in places that are in the forefront, right? The innovative places. So as you see businesses adopting AI into their workflows and the tools they're using, it attracts better talent and also for maintaining this talent in-house. So do more and expand.
Okay. So it's interesting because you touched on that. We have one of our founders of our company who is doing podcasts, and he wrote a few articles on AI's potential impact on pharmacology and just the impact on the healthcare and life sciences industry. And his message was essentially the same, where it's like you have all these monotonous tasks and it's not going to replace the doctors, anytime soon, but it can help them like kind of like a utility. And the example that I use is like you have Batman and he has his utility belt that makes him do really cool things, helps him out. So, you know, I'm glad the professionals are agreeing on that. But, you know, we kind of jumped the gun. Let's take a step back and I'm going to ask you a more simple question for those who don't know. What is artificial intelligence? And maybe a two-part question. How does this differ from other forms of technology that currently exist?
Sure. So AI, it's like giving computer the ability to learn, to think, and to make decisions on their own. Very powerful way. And usually you need a human intelligence for those tasks. So we also see in our day-to-day life, without even realizing it, that we already use AI in so many ways. Like you see Tesla cars, right? Or Alexa and Siri. And when you go to Amazon and shop and you see, oh, you might like this product too, with the recommendation system. So we use AI every day without even realizing it. And how it's different from any other form of technology. Traditional technologies, they're following set of predefined rules. For example, you press a button, something happens. AI, however, it learns, it adapts, and it also covers some patterns and insights that humans sometimes missing. So if we'll take example, the same car of Tesla, when I said about you have the car, you have sensors on the car. So with AI, those sensors getting real-time data and real-time make decisions. Do I need to stop? Do I need to turn? Versus a regular car just going to follow the human command driving it.
Okay, so you touched on a few things there. You mentioned, like the smarter recommendations for your shopping experience, something that we do here. So is that like the distinction between predictive AI and Gen AI?
Predictive, as it sounds, predictive predictions. This is where you make predictions based on historical data. For example, you're looking to predict your sales in the next quarter. How do you do it? You take historical data based on your past sales and you learn from it and you can make predictions. Generative AI is a little bit different. It's more advanced because what it does, it just creates new content, something that didn't exist before. New content like text. You see ChatGPT that helps everyone finally to be like being able to write a poetry, or DALL-E who helps creating images from text or music. So it's a different tool and different power than predictive AI. Mm-hmm.
So what's the, I've heard some different things around like the Gen AI portion, and it's bringing us more into like the human element. So you mentioned like the ability to learn. So is it becoming more and more similar or on the same level of human potential because it's learning?
Both generative and predictive are learning. It's just different type of output.
But to generate, I think that's like the human element, like the ability to actually generate something as opposed to, you know, learning and predicting.
Yes. So it does generate new content, which is super, super powerful. And this is where we see so many people finally understanding what AI is and quite often wanting to have generative AI to really boost their efficiency. That is the next level of just predicting.
So I have another, I can say, fear-based question. And this question is going to help us get into some other follow-up questions. But I'm going to take a step into cinema for now. And there's one specific example that I can think of, which is T2 or Terminator 2, probably arguably the best movie sequel of all time. So in this case, you have machines that are now able to think, and at one point they become sentient and they have some sort of drive for self-determination, and they become too powerful and they take over. Should we be worried about AI becoming too powerful or out of control? Is this a valid fear?
It is. This is another thing that I hear. It's also a very common concern. you know, look, we hear some stories, and I think one of the stories that were highlighted in the news is Google one, where they said, oh, the machine developed feelings, right? Yeah, so I do get it. But first, we need to remember that those machines were created by human, right? So the creator that have worked on that machine, and when we look on large language models, they're also helping in the training process, right? So on one hand, the human is trying to reduce the hallucinations, but it's also very easy and simple to write just a computer program that will claim, oh, I have feelings, I'm a person. So we have to remember that. And having said that, we need to treat AI like any other powerful tool. And with that, it brings some risks. And the really keys on looking at AI and implementing AI is just treat it that way and apply some robust governance framework and ethical guidance, how to use it, what are the limitations, how to monitor it, how to ensure that it behaves the way we need to with responsible AI, and also follow regulations. And we all playing a very critical role in that, from the person who uses it, like I'm the end user, I can help with providing a feedback loop on the responses. And the person who creates the solution, they have a responsibility about the safeguards and the monitoring capabilities that they have. And even the business leaders, right, from a high level responsibility in the organization. So
how developed are these regulations, by the way? And, you know, how much do you know about them, considering your position?
We all know about them, and we have a team. So the company I work for, DataRobot, which is an AI company, we have a platform to help organizations to really build, deploy, and govern AI for both predictive and generative in their businesses. So we are always informed about the regulations, and they are just keep changing over time.
I would imagine that they're evolving, considering all this stuff is, you know, there's all these new things popping up, all these competitors and these advancements.
I think that, you know, on our side in the US, like on the federal level, they're still trying to figure it out things. There is a current administration that signed an executive order to promote the use of safe, secure, and trustworthy AI. Every state has some rules, and things are evolving over time. I think there is the New York Law 144 governing algorithm. California has one. Utah has one. So things are evolving. We just have to make sure that we are monitoring it. And especially for organizations that serving more than just the US-based customers, like they have to follow other countries like the EU, which is the most advanced in that topic.
I just remember what's coming to my mind is Musk. I think he had a hand in OpenAI, the company, in the beginning. I forgot why he stepped out, but he was always just, you know, pushing messages around caution. But of course, now Grok is up and running. So, you know, I guess the only thing we can do is see how this pans out. It's kind of exciting. I've recently written an article about AI in warfare because I heard a couple of podcasts that I found super fascinating. They were talking about how this is an offset in terms of just like the history of humanity. And since the end of World War II, there were a couple of offsets, one of them being nuclear technology. And now we're here and there's like this huge arms race. I wouldn't even say an arms race, but an AI race between the United States and some of their adversaries. So, you know, a lot of different topics. You actually did.
You know, like something maybe to call out, we as a company that is an active player in the revolution of AI, we have even a person in our team. Her name is Hania Mahmoudian. She is responsible about our global AI ethicist, and she is a part of the advisory committee in the US. So she's an advisor for the National AI Advisory Committee. So we feel responsibility beyond just our product and organization to everything that AI brings to the world.
At the forefront then, I guess.
Trying.
Yeah. So let's talk about successful implementation, because we touched on a few things in terms of, like, you know, what are the ingredients, which you touched on, to create trusted AI. But in terms of implementation, and more specifically, successful implementation, how are you measuring this?
So it's a full journey. And let me give you an analogy that I like to use. So using AI is like using your sports equipment. First, you do like a shopping experience, right? You're trying to evaluate different vendors and different solutions for your equipment, right? You decide on your right equipment. And then you are figuring out how to install it and how to use it. And then you start to use it. You see results, and then you're so happy with the results. You see, oh, I lost weight. I got to be stronger, and you get addicted, and you incorporate it as part of your daily routine. You adopt it. And it's the same with AI. First, you're trying to understand how to use it, and you need to put some metrics in place to measure the success. So you deploy it. Not enough. The journey is not over. Now you need to keep monitoring the performance metrics on your solution on a technical level. Yeah, on a technical level, like the accuracy of a solution, the correctness, everything related to the AI output, but also business KPIs. You decreased response time. You increased your sales. What are the KPIs that are important for you? And also, you need to look on the adoption and the user feedback. How much you incorporated that in your organization, how it integrated, if users really using it. So all those things are part of the endless process. And it's always a continuous process.
It sounds familiar. It sounds like the adoption of any sort of like software as a service. Like what does the output look like? What's the return on investment? Is everybody using it? Is it changing the way that you're operating? But it sounds, probably a little more complex.
It does, but I think that the monitoring aspect really differentiates AI than others, because you have to, this is part of the trusted component, right? You have to keep monitoring things, make changes. You know, the market is changing. COVID, for example, you trained your AI models on some data, and then everything has changed, right? The reality is different. So what you trained on before is irrelevant now. The reality has changed. You have to retrain your models in order to see the real new output. So you have to keep consistently checking all the metrics on your accuracy and your drift, and even some correctness and cost and safety and PII detection. So many different metrics.
Okay. Pay attention, business leaders. These are important insights. I have another question, I guess, for business leaders, and I think, or around business leaders, because I know that a lot of companies, from what I'm seeing, they're interested in AI, and beyond the buzz term, a lot of people know about it. They don't really know what it is, and more importantly, they don't know how they can utilize it. But for those who have figured it out, how can these business leaders ensure that they're, what it is they are implementing, in this case AI, is being implemented ethically and responsibly?
So they need to treat it like any other major decision that they make. They need to ensure that they have the right people. Right people is on the expertise and education, so they can really implement it, right? But also diverse perspectives, to involve a lot of people in the process to just get all those different opinions. They also need to see that they have the technical readiness, that they have the right platform that can help them to have all those guardrails and monitoring, and to understand all the changes. And they also need to look on processes and responsibilities. What I spoke earlier about the ethical guidance, and be open on what is possible, and change management is very, very important. And to keep following the regulation, right? No one want to be in the headlines of any newspaper, right?
Anybody come up in the headline of newspaper recently?
Asking me?
Yeah, I mean, anything comes to mind?
Well, we see some lawsuits. I think one of the recent one I saw was on I hope I'm not mistaken, but I think there was a lawsuit in California against maybe Anthropic by using like authors that they use their books as part of their training data to their models. So things are coming up all the time. And I think there was a Lufthansa actually use case where there was a chat solving one use case for a customer and they offered them like a ridiculous amount as a resolution. And then the management went back and was like, what? This is not with our policy, but you know, exactly, this is the output of the chatbot. So it is what it is.
That's what is a disclaimer on the bottom. They're saying we make mistakes.
Yeah.
This chatbot makes mistakes. Okay. So I have one final question for you. And I think I'd love your perspective on this. Most people have an idea of what to expect in the future around AI. And I will say that that idea is probably distorted. And this is why we're having this conversation. But I would love to hear it from you, the expert. Where do you see the future of AI going in the next 5 to 10 years? And as a follow-up to that, how should businesses start preparing for it?
So I think the obvious is more adoption and how it's going to transform industries. I see a lot now, especially Gen AI was kind of boosting the use of AI. Oh, I want to have AI. Suddenly you see all those business leaders understand what AI is and being able to use it. And we see that it's actually on the business plan of all the business leaders for the coming 12 to 24 months. So they're going to continue and evolve. And not just for those industries that are in the forefront, like healthcare and financial services, it's going to come to everyone. The second one is, I think from a technology perspective, it's going to evolve even more and we'll be able to perform much better. Now we have large language models. We see that we are having domain-specific large language models that can provide better responses, or large multimodal models that are trained not just on text, but many other set of features. We will be able to see how AI is able to integrate with other technologies like IoT and blockchain and influence more on the consumer experience and personalization. And with all this goodness, it also brings some bad news, because I do think that we will see even more restrictions. So we know about studies and regulation, but something that I think is going to come up very soon is also environmental effect. All those large language models requires a lot of computing power. You have more servers, you have more electricity, you know, to optimize performance, right? So the sustainability topic is coming to place now. And what to do to get prepared for it starts now. You cannot just lay back and say, oh, maybe in the future I'll explore it. I don't think anyone has a choice anymore. Start with investing in AI infrastructure and in AI technology. Make sure that your culture and the organization supports that, like foster innovation and adaptability. And knowledge is power. So stay informed on what's new, what's coming, and trends, so you can pivot accordingly with your business.
Knowledge is power. With that power, you have some responsibility. So please, please use your knowledge wisely. Atalia Hornstein, thanks for making a convoluted, complex topic a little simpler with us today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoy that.
Okay, so that wraps up our first episode and our conversation with Atalia. Atalia, a big thanks to you once again. We've ventured into the realms of AI, its potential impacts, how it's reshaping our world, etc. I think we've learned today that the future of AI isn't necessarily this looming horror story, but it is crucial for businesses and individuals alike to stay informed and also remain prepared. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing and stay tuned for more discussions that simplify tech. Until next time, keep exploring, stay curious. Goodbye for now.